WHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Wendy Gillette. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth says U.S. forces fired on another drug smuggling vessel in the Caribbean Friday, killing three people. It's the seventh such attack. Arizona Democratic Senator Mark Kelly criticized the actions on CBS's Face the Nation.
It puts a tremendous number of Americans in harm's way, the U.S. military, the guys flying those missions now in B-52s close to the coast. Those folks are at risk.
President Trump posted today that Colombia's president is an illegal drug dealer and that he's slashing U.S. funding to the country. Israel says Hamas militants fired on its troops, killing two soldiers. The military then hit targets in Gaza, killing at least 19 Palestinians. This is how it sounded at a local hospital. The BBC's Lucy Williamson from Jerusalem on the state of the ceasefire.
An Israeli security official confirmed that the flow of humanitarian aid into Gaza had been halted as a result of the Hamas attacks. Hamas said it remained committed to the truce, adding it had now found the body of another Israeli hostage and would hand it over if field conditions allowed.
Thieves got away with eight crown jewels from the Louvre Museum in Paris this morning. Brad Gibson reports.
The break-in was a quick, brazen theft in daylight around 9:30 a.m. local time, just a half hour after the museum had opened its doors to the public. Much of the authorities' attention has been centered on a small truck parked next to the museum with a ladder stretched out to a first-floor balcony. If authorities know who they're looking for, they have yet to announce it to the media and the public.
Former New York Congressman George Santos is spending the weekend as a free man after President Trump commuted his sentence, releasing him from prison Friday. Odyssey New York reporter Amanda Alexandre.
In the first interview since his release, George Santos telling CNN State of the Union he's closing the chapter of his
chaotic ball of flame 2 years ago. I was my own worst enemy.
And for that, he's
sorry. I'm sorry to the American people. I'm sorry to the people of the 3rd Congressional District of New York. I'm sorry to the leadership of the Republican Party who invested their time in me.
The former congressman praising the POTUS for his freedom.
I'm very grateful to President Trump.
With no strings attached to his promise of redemption.
This isn't about, you know, glitter, stars and glam or going back to Congress.
There's a new top movie at the box office this weekend.
Hello, Finney.
It's the horror sequel, Black Phone 2. It made $26.5 million. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
97.5 WFHR, locally grown radio and home to mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
For Civic Media News, I'm Sholly Pittman. Wednesday was White Cane Safety Day. The day has been around for 60 years and recognizes people who are blind or have visual impairments. It's also a reminder to motorists to stop 10 feet away from people carrying a white cane.
In Wisconsin, motorists are required to stop no shorter than 10 feet from a pedestrian who is in the roadway, who is carrying a white cane or using a service animal.
Denise Jess is executive director of the Wisconsin Council of the Blind and Visually Impaired. She herself is blind and carries a foldable white cane. She says reminding drivers to take extra caution benefits all people.
We don't want drivers running over pedestrians, period, but vulnerable pedestrians who really can't see you coming need that that extra protection under the law.
Wisconsin's white cane law comes with a fine. And even though it's not against the law, Jess says it's also not helpful to honk.
But honking is confusing because we don't know if you're honking at us. You know, we have no way of visually verifying, are you honking at us? Are you honking to give us information? Are you honking because you're irritated that you had to stop? There's no way to understand what that honk is. So while it's not statutory limited, it's just it's just confusing. We don't know how to interpret it.
Just says care and attention while on the road doesn't only benefit folks who are blind or low vision. It also benefits you as a driver.
It's so critical to our safety and your well-being. You know, if you were to hit one of us, it would change your life as well, and we wouldn't want that to happen.
October is also National Pedestrian Safety Month. For Civic Media News, I'm Sholly Pittman. More news anytime at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. A lingering shower possible early, otherwise clearing skies, but it will be windy and much colder. Highs only in the mid-50s. For tonight, mostly clear skies. It'll be chilly. In fact, some areas of frost possible late. Low temperatures in the mid-30s. Right now, 53 degrees.
Todd Allbaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time after a very disconcerting and busy news and sports weekend. We will sit down and discuss it all with our friend and colleague of Matt Nair on Air, Jane Matt Nair. Join us.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
What is up, Wisconsin? This is Raised in Wisco. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish. Joining me on this stupendous panel tonight.
Stupendous.
Is
like
the fishinest, huntinest, anglinest, noodlingest.
Oh, yeah. I didn't go this year.
Noodlinest.
I'm very sad. We're sad about it, too.
Huntress / fisher person. Danielle Fairman alongside
Hello.
Of me. Hey, Danielle.
Hi.
How are you? Co-hosting the show tonight and with me for several decades in the outdoors of Wisconsin, bringing you the best of the outdoors and helping you take what you harvest. I was going to say kill, but let's be honest. Let's use honest words. When you go out hunting, you kill something and put it on your table.
Sure do.
And I'm perfectly okay with that. I come from the school of thought that if something is born in captivity, raised in captivity to be killed, to put on your table, i.e. the beef you pick up at the store, when you hunt, you are doing something as ethical, if not even more ethical in some cases. That animal lives free its whole life,
mm-hmm.
and it ends up on your table. And that's why we are such proponents on the show of using everything you harvest. Fishing, hunting, foraging. If you pick it, pluck it, or stick it, it should be on your table. Danielle Fairman's co-host
Yay.
Here, and the one who makes it easy for us to take everything from the great outdoors and put it on the table in a simple, absolutely delicious way, the award-winning Chef Ellie Lawton. Chef?
Bonjour.
Yeah. She's been working on her French.
I know. Say. Two words.
Two?
It's only taken 6 months.
Two words. What are the two words?
Well, I know one saying and one word.
What is the saying?
My name is Ellie.
Je m'appelle Ellie. That's pretty good.
Je m'appelle at the deli.
And of course, the contributor.
Kind of smelly.
Megan.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you said it. I'm glad you said it, not me. I have to sit next to her.
Hey, you don't have to.
Well, during the show, I do. And Megan, the salad bar Salazar, is with us. And you know what I'm really jacked about? I'm really jacked because, you know, a lot of folks know her dad, Jay Link, from his escapades in the outdoors. But I have to tell you, our guest tonight is really making her name known and
yes.
really accomplishing some incredible things in the outdoors. I want to get into women in hunting. I want to talk about some of the challenges they face and some of the things that they're able to overcome as the largest growing group of new hunters in the state
Yay.
And the nation.
Mm-hmm.
Kenya Link is joining us. Kenya, man, I'm so jacked. You just got off one of the most exciting, probably, hunts of your life. Exciting to even see it and read about it. Kenya, great to have you on the show tonight.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm super excited to be here. The timing couldn't be better, honestly, coming straight off that hunt. I've got lots to talk about.
Yay!
Yes, and we're going to talk about her absolutely record breaking awesome hunt she had. But tonight I want to take a few minutes to talk about how excited we are to have the listeners we do. Our listenership is growing. Raised in Wisco can be heard on Saturdays at 11 o'clock throughout the great state of Wisconsin, and now in Minnesota and Michigan, 11 o'clock
Hello,
Saturdays.
Neighbors.
So welcome to our Michigan and Minnesota neighbors. Go Packers.
what was that?
I didn't hear anything. No. One thing that bonds us all is the great outdoors. And, you know, I know that Minnesota and our friends in Minnesota have the land of 10,000 lakes on their license plates. And Wisconsin has got 10,000 plus lakes here. And Michigan's got a ton of lakes. And we all share the Great Lakes. And we share the Mississippi with Minnesota. So a lot of what we do here in Wisconsin in the outdoors can be done similarly in similar altitudes and similar latitudes in Michigan and Minnesota. So it really is great to have them. I am having people tell us about the show. One of the listeners, I'm excited about this because it just makes me feel good. We have a loyal listener. Now, George Ermert, just settle down. You couldn't be here tonight.
Yeah, relax, George.
You couldn't be here tonight, but we brought in what I would call our best listener, or shares the title with George.
Yay. I agree.
Gary Fluitt is here. And Gary, I really appreciate you coming to the Fishbowl tonight. You came in, you're raised in Wisco hat. You show up at the
Love
events
it.
That we do. And it's just awesome to have you. And I want to know, like, how did you start listening to Raised in Wisco, and how loyal of a listener are you? Because it's really cool to have one of our biggest fans of the show in the studio with us.
Coming across Raised in Wisco, word of mouth. Word of mouth got me here. I listen every Saturday. If I don't catch it on Saturdays, I'll catch it live stream on Sundays. If I miss the show, I'm really disappointed.
Aww.
Not just my love for the outdoors, but a love for cooking, for what I get in the outdoors, all about the harvesting. If you haven't tried the recipes that are shared, you probably should.
Right there. That, you know what? That warms the cockles of my heart.
The who's?
That's actually a saying. That makes me feel so good. And after all is said and done, you guys, that is what this show is about, and it is about spreading the good news of the outdoors, how to take what you harvest and put it on the table, understanding and appreciating when you take the life of an animal or a fish, or when you pluck a plant out of the ground. That is a gift, and in Wisconsin, there's no better place to do it in the entire country, the world, in my opinion, than right here. And that is going to bring us to our weekly Wiscos.
Woo!
Let's talk about what we all did in the great outdoors of Wisconsin this past week. And I'm going to break a rule. My weekly Wisco is not in Wisconsin, but
what?
It's so exciting. I have to say it. We're going to start with Megan, the salad bar Salazar, the sommelier pirate. Megan, what's your weekly
Wisco?
Goodness
gracious, it's getting
That's
long.
A mouthful.
It is a lot. I don't even remember what they are. Okay, what did we do? We went duck hunting. We went grouse hunting, and we went pheasant hunting at a game farm.
Wow. That is quite the weekend.
Yeah,
the
I dragged week, Dave I around say. Everywhere.
Oh,
he loves it.
Ears. Dave is here, and he has a huge smile on his face.
I don't think
And stars in his eyes, yes. Because they're lovers.
As you have probably learned previously on the show, Dave and Megan are lovers, and they don't really drag each other around. They're a bit like Siamese twins. They're kind of connected at the hip. So when goes Megan, air goes Dave.
Yeah, they don't drag. They more so grab each other's hands and run.
They just run through the threshold.
Whatever direction is hunting, they're running that direction.
Well, that's
so we got a bunch of feathers.
That's perfect.
And a woodcock.
Oh,
love it.
And did you eat the woodcock?
I ate the woodcock at my cooking class with John Motovilov.
And John Motovilov's been a guest on the show. He's a fantastic dude. So shout out to him. And shout out to him teaching people about the great outdoors. Danielle, what do you got?
I did a little non-out hunting situation. I bought a projector because I'm having an outdoor movie night for Halloween, and we watched the Cubs Brewers game outside with the fire.
Wonderful.
It was fantastic on the big screen with the fire going with my whole entire family. It right on the water. Got to see where the ducks were landing, so I got to go out there and shoot them the next morning. But you know.
Well, that's fantastic. I have a feeling Raised in Wisco is probably gonna expand past Michigan and Minnesota into Illinois at some point. So if you wanna talk about smack about Illinois, now's the time to do it.
But you know, Jacobs,
you can hear us in Illinois.
You can hear us in Illinois.
You can hear us all the way down to Chicago if you get the radio station right.
That's right, because we are
Jacob shaking his head.
Jacob, no offense. We love you. We have adopted you as a Wisconsinite, Jacob.
Yeah,
you know that,
you're a Wisconsinite.
You're a Wisconsinite.
I'm very happy to be a Wisconsinite because I'm raised here in Wisco with you guys, and it's fun, and you make fun of my ducks and my state and my Cubs, and that's fine.
What?
We're all buddies, I understand.
Mostly we make fun of your football team, but that's okay too, Jacob. Chef Lawton, what do you got?
I had a wonderful solo evening in the woods turkey hunting and was blessed with harvesting a nice big tom.
Nice.
So that's my exciting weekly Wisco.
That is very exciting. And oddly enough, my weekly Wisco is an extremely exciting event too. I won't say it wasn't solo. I had State Senator Rob Stafschult and his daughter with me, and I harvested a Miriam turkey.
So cool.
In Wyoming. And wait for it. Drum roll, please. I completed my turkey grand slam.
That's awesome.
And for those of you who do not know what a turkey grand slam is, there are four main turkeys species in the United States. They are Eastern, Osceola, Miriam, and Rio. And this was the last one that I haven't gotten. And so I was able to get out there in Wyoming and harvest a beautiful Miriam turkey. And I'm going to save my next weekly Wisco for the next show we do. But Kenya Link, I'm going to expand the weekly Wisco into several weeks because this is a perfect way to introduce the exciting thing that happened to you. So why don't you tell us about that?
Yeah, I am happy to. So it technically was within the week because I just got back to Wisconsin last Wednesday. So technically, it's within the week still.
Well, that counts.
But yeah, so I was out in Idaho along the Snake River bighorn sheep hunting, and I got a great big bighorn sheep in the depths of Hell's Canyon.
You did that there. The depths of Hell's Canyon.
That does not sound terrifying at all.
Yeah, I mean, it really, really, truly kind of was. It's some steep country out there, but I had such a blast. I mean, physically, mentally, it was a tough hunt, but I pursued and I didn't give up, and I got it done in the end. So awesome. I was happy to bring back a bunch of bighorn sheep meat with me, and we cooked it up over the weekend and celebrated, and it was delicious. Aww. So,
oh my gosh.
That's so exciting.
It's wonderful.
I have so many questions. I cannot wait to talk about that. We're going to talk about where you went in, where you were dropped off, how much you did on foot, what firearm you were using, what the terrain was like, what the weather was like. I want to know with the meat. I want to know everything about it because
I want to know the recipe for the meat. Yeah, so get that ready.
Wow, Chef Lawton wants to know the recipe. There's a surprise. I can't wait to continue talking to you about that because this is in one of the categories that some people consider themselves extremely serious hunters going after, you know, the sheep and the sheep's lambs. And a bighorn sheep is absolutely crazy difficult to get. So I'm really excited about that. So why don't you start, give us a little quip as to when you went out there and how the very first day of the hunt started.
Yeah, so I'll start off by saying I drew a really rare tag. It's the Unit 11 Idaho sheep, Idaho bighorn sheep tag that there's only one out-of-state tag given. It's a lottery ticket.
Wow. Holy
cow. It's a really, really rare tag to draw. I was absolutely so excited when I heard the news that I drew this tag. I put in a total of 7 days hunting for this sheep. Day one was definitely the hottest. It was about 100.
Well, I can't wait to hear about that. We got to go to break. Hang on to your hats, everybody. It's so exciting. This is Raised in Wisco with an expert panel on Kenya Link.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
So my mother is thinking of switching from Verizon to Pure Talk, but she's worried the deal sounds too good to be true. Michael, she said, how can those Pure Talk people offer me the same basic service as Verizon for so much less money? I said, Ma, go ask Google how much Verizon spends on advertising and promotions. A few seconds later, my mother said, oh my goodness, $12 billion a year? That must be a typo. I'll tell you what I told my mom. It's not a typo. Verizon spends $12 billion a year on advertising and promotions, and their customers are paying for it. Well, Pure Talk doesn't spend that kind of money on commercials. Trust me, I would know. That's why they can offer you and my mother unlimited talk, text, and plenty of data on a crazy fast 5G network for just $25 a month. And if you're a business owner, you could really save a fortune. Dial #250, say the words Mike Rowe, and you'll get an additional 50% off your first month. That's #250, Mike Rowe. Pure Talk. Everything you need and nothing you don't.
My whole identity had been wrapped up in being a soldier. To have that so violently ripped from me when I was wounded, I was lost for a very long time. When Wounded Warrior Project came into my life, being around the other warriors, people that had similar experiences that I did, it was a game changer for me. Having King join the group, that was the beginning of a really good friendship.
It's a good time.
I first heard about Wounded Warrior Project through CQ. And at first I was kind of like, I don't know if I qualify. But having been a part of it, it's kind of taught me that it's not just the wounds that you can see, but it's those that you can't.
When you do something like a peer support group with Wounded Warrior Project and come together from different walks of life, man, the growth is incredible. If not for Wounded Warrior Project, I really don't think that I'd be here today.
See how we help warriors combat stigma at woundedwarriorproject.org/combatstigma.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Raised in Wisco is your one-stop shop for everything in the great outdoors of the great state of Wisconsin. My name is Joel Clayfish. I have the honor and privilege and pleasure of hosting Raised in Wisco alongside co-host Danielle Fairman and award-winning chef, the culinarian, the chefferie of Raised in Wisco, Ellie Lawton, who shares with us how to take what you field and forage to the table in a simple, easy way. And tonight, we've got Megan, the salad bar, Salazar, our sommelier, along with us today. Danielle, I love that you laugh every time I
every
say
time.
That.
Every time. I'm just funny. Picturing it as a name tag.
Our number one fan, Gary Fluitt's in the studio with us. But we have been hearing the very beginning of the exciting, unbelievable, death-defying hunt of Kenya Link. And if you follow
in
Kenya.
In Hell's Canyon.
In Hell's Kitchen.
Sounds
kitchen.
Fun.
Canyon? Kitchen Canyon. Or Canyon?
Canyon.
Is it Hell's Kitchen?
Hell's
or
Hole.
Danielle, you're on the radio.
Kenya Link, you do quite a bit in the outdoors.
I can Google it now.
You went on a bighorn sheep hunt, and you drew really the tag of 1,000 lifetimes, if we're going to be honest. They give one out-of-state bighorn sheep tag, and unbelievably, you drew it. First day of your hunt, super hot out, and you're facing, you know.
Wait, can we go back to the whole getting the tag? Like, that has to be so exciting. I feel like we need to talk about that one. Like, how many times did you put in for this? Like, how did you?
How many people go in for it?
I have all the questions about this part.
Yeah, I do
still
too, Danielle.
Up here.
And I want to know how many resident tags they pull too, if anyone knows that.
Do you know this, Kenya?
Kenya,
yeah,
tell us.
So, a lot of people apply for it every year. I mean, it brings in a lot of money for conservation. As far as other tags in that area, there's one resident tag and then there's one governor's tag that can technically hunt that unit. So, realistically speaking, there's only 3 people who can hunt that unit.
Wow.
Oh my gosh, that's so cool.
If the governor's tag decides to shoot one there, or if they decide to go somewhere else. So the competition's really low, which helps, because as I said earlier before the break, the terrain is tough. It was 105 degrees the first day I hunted, and I was climbing up the steep Hell's Canyon mountains. So
Hell's Canyon. I was right.
Yeah, Hell's Canyon and Hell's Kitchen that day too.
That's unbelievable. Now, when you say climbing up, is it more alpine style climbing, or are you doing rock climbing, or is it kind of a combination of both? And what's the altitude like?
Yeah, it's rock. It's really rocky. Once in a while, you'll be lucky enough to hit a grassy patch, but it's rocky and it's slippery. I mean, I had 2 walking sticks, and most people use 1 or 2 walking sticks too, because it's steep. I mean, you're climbing. So, and yeah, altitude, honestly, we weren't really that high up. It doesn't, when you hear the number, it doesn't seem like you're that high up. It's like between almost 4,000 feet. Like 380. Yeah.
It's nothing to laugh at. So, you're still going to have to take deeper breaths at 4,000 or 5,000 feet.
Oh, gosh.
Seems like a lot
when you're constantly
of work.
Climbing.
Now, are you belayed while you're doing this, or are you free climbing?
You're totally free climbing. Yeah. All you've got is your walking sticks, and a big backpack on your back to weigh you down.
You backwards.
And I'm just going to tell you, today's school kids in grade school, they train for this because their backpacks are bigger than
not anymore.
So you're climbing up this mountain and it's 105 degrees. The air is slightly thinner than it is down here. And what are you thinking? Are you thinking to yourself at some point, what the ever-loving hell have I gotten myself into?
Oh, absolutely. Especially when you're at a spot where you can't really find a good spot to stick your foot. You're kind of talking yourself out of a panic attack once in a while.
Are places where you slip the wrong way, you fall off the mountain, correct?
Oh, yeah.
No biggie. I cannot imagine. And when you actually harvest an animal and you have to track this whole entire thing back, how in the world are you going to do that?
That just seems
mind-blowing to me.
Yeah, so it is mind-blowing, truthfully. And so I went with guides. I had a great team of guides, Sheep Meadow Outfitters. You can find them online under Sheep Mountain Outfitters.
Sheep Meadow Outfitters. Not get it?
Sheep Meadow.
Sheep
Meadow.
Yeah. Oh, Sheep Meadow.
Yeah. Meadow. Meadow. Sorry, Joel. I was on the same page.
I was thinking Sheep Meadow. I don't know.
Clever.
Wow, unbelievable. So you're wondering to yourself, what the hell did I get myself into? I'm halfway up a mountain. And you haven't seen a sheep at this point, or you have?
Well, so the first day we were glassing them from across the way, we were on the other side of the river, glassing along the Snake River, looking at the mountain, and we could see them in a spot. So we made our way to that spot, and we tried to get a shot the first day. Didn't work out. So we ended up climbing down the mountain. They ran off. We didn't get a good shot, and all that climbing just for the heck of it, pretty much is what happened the first day. And then, I mean, it was a 7-full-day hunt. So
wow.
Holy
Ooh, after that
cow.
First day, I
How
probably would have turned in my boots.
Sleeping right now.
Yeah, I can't. And when you come down, I can't imagine the exasperation after the first day, the wonder of if I did the right thing here, if I'm going to continue. Well, Kenya Link, our guest tonight, did continue, and you're not going to believe how the hunt developed, and I'm really excited about this. This is Raised in Wisco.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
CBS News Brief. The U.S. military struck another alleged drug-carrying vessel, killing 3 people. It is the 7th known attack since last month. Democratic Senator Mark Kelly on CBS's Face the Nation.
I do worry about the legal authorities, or lack thereof, that the United States military has to conduct these kind of strikes.
In France, thieves broke into the Louvre Museum, stealing jewelry of value in a brazen heist.
Jewelry was stolen from the Louvre, so we couldn't enter.
He's visiting from South Korea. The thieves fled on motorcycles. Former Congressman George Santos is speaking out after President Trump got him out of prison. He was asked on CNN if he'll pay restitution to his victims of fraud.
If it's required of me by the law, yes. If it's not, then no. I will do whatever the law requires me to do.
He is not required to do so. It would have been $400,000 that he would have had to pay. Santos served just 3 months of his 7-year federal prison sentence. CBS News Brief, I'm Matt Piper.
97.5 WFHR, locally grown radio, and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
The Badgers lose again. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports college football. The Wisconsin Badgers lost at home to Ohio State 34-0 for a second week in a row. The Badgers were shut out. Last week, they lost to Iowa 37-0. Now, the last time the Badgers lost in back-to-back shutouts was 1977. Head coach Luke Fickell asked about fans at Camp Randall Stadium chanting "Fire Fickell" again.
I know this, that it's disappointing to our kids. But it's also can be motivating as well. And that's what we got to continue to find, is the ways to motivate us intrinsically that puts a better product out there, so we don't have to worry about things like that.
Badgers linebacker Darrell Peterson on dealing with the loss.
Oh, you learn from it. I mean, we just played number one team in the country. Now we played some slouches. Played a great team. And they played great on offense and defense today. You got to learn from it, and you got to keep going.
NFL, it's the Packers and the Cardinals at State Farm Stadium in Arizona. The Packers looking for their first road win this season. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. A lingering shower possible early, otherwise clearing skies, but it will be windy and much colder. Highs only in the mid-50s. For tonight, mostly clear skies. It'll be chilly. In fact, some areas of frost possible late. Low temperatures in the mid-30s. Currently, it's 55 degrees.
Did the average S&P 500 CEOs earn in less than 2 days what their typical worker earned in all of 2023? Yes. In 2023, the average S&P 500 CEO earned about $17 million, or about $46,849 per day, compared to under $64,000 per year for the average worker. Median figures were similar. CEOs made $16.3 million, while median workers earned about $81,000, equivalent to less than 2 days of CEO pay. High CEO compensation remains a stark contrast to the modest worker earnings across major U.S. companies. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Smokey the Bear.
Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful, it's the least that you can do.
Force is what you desire. Don't play with matches, don't play with fire.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Using meth taught me everything about freedom, only not like you think. It taught me how easy it is to lose your freedom. If you think meth is taking control of you, ask for help. You have the power to be truly free. I know. I'm Jan, and I'm free from meth.
If you or someone you know is struggling with meth, call 1-800-662-HELP for 24-hour free and confidential treatment referral. Learn more at samhsa.gov/meth.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
This is Raised in Wisco. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish, sitting alongside co-host Danielle Fairman, chefery of the show, Ellie Lawton, fan favorite of the show, Gary Fluitt, and of course, Woo-hoo. Contributor Megan the Salad Bar Salazar. But today, we have one heck of an exciting guest, Kenya Link, who just got back, literally just got back from a bighorn sheep hunt. She pulled a tag, one given out to a non-resident, and she had a hunt in Hell's Canyon, Idaho. Yes, Idaho, Kenya. And I want to know, when you're up there and you had just talked about day one, going up, not getting a shot, putting in probably the hardest physical day of your life, or at least toward the top of that, right? And you get to the bottom and... Let's do it again tomorrow. Is that what happens?
Same place, same.
And then again and again
and again and again. I mean, take me through the mental stratosphere you're going through at that point.
Yeah, it's an emotional roller coaster. I mean, day one to the last day, you're hitting a lot of highs and lows, literally and
figuratively.
And figuratively. I mean, it's a lot. It's a mental challenge, let alone the physical challenge.
So take me to which day you actually saw the sheep that you got a shot at and what that day was like and what was going through your mind and what you had to physically and mentally do on that day.
Yeah. So day six, the night of day six, one of my guides. So we had hunted a few different sheep. So this was really the third ram we were after. And the first time anybody had seen this ram within our group was day six that night. I didn't get eyes on him until day seven. But day six that night, one of my guides basically put him to bed. We knew where he was. And we made a game plan for the next day. Friday morning, we got up way, way early so we could get up to the top of the mountain before daylight via truck. And then work our way in to where he was. And this was, like I said, the first time anybody in our group had seen the sheep. And he was the biggest sheep that they had seen all season. So
all season.
Wow. Yeah. He's a monster.
Yes.
I saw a picture.
It's
fantastic.
So,
monster.
Yeah. So the wait of the 7 days ended up paying off because this was the big one. So
take me through that seventh day as you're climbing the mountain again. What emotions are you going through before you see him, as you see him, as you get ready to take that shot?
Yeah, so I knew we had a long hike ahead of us that day. We we had to go in just 8 miles from where we parked the truck down.
Oh, you hiked like, 8 miles
in.
Okay.
Uphill both ways.
Okay.
On day six, after you've been doing that
day seven.
You've already been doing this for 6 days.
Oh,
just a casual 16-mile hike on day seven.
Wow. Yeah, it was a lot. We literally 8 miles in, and then he ended up not being at that spot where he went to bed. So we had to go up and down and up and down.
Like, oh no!
I think from there it was close to five or six more miles.
Oh gosh! Roll out the stretcher for me.
I mean, have you seen the sheep? It's a good sheep.
It's absolutely
worth it.
I'm not sure if you had all the sheep that Jesus had in one spot. If I could hike in 8 miles. And then start going up and down.
And then just five or six more up and down.
Five or six
more. No biggie.
So
your calves would be huge.
At this point, is your guide like looking at you thinking, I don't know.
This is one tough chick.
I don't know what the hell I'm doing. I have no idea. I'm going to fall asleep right here. Send in a helicopter. I mean, what are you thinking at that point?
The good news is the guides, I mean, they're equipped for that. They do this all the time. But even at the end, they said to me, they're like, that's probably the hardest hike I've ever had to do for a big
one. Oh, my gosh.
That's what several of them said to me at the end. And I didn't doubt it for a minute. But, I mean, they were really proud of me. They probably knew I had it in me. Otherwise, I don't think they would have put me in that situation.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Were
so,
you sure?
For you. I'm very proud of you.
Were you,
you
sure you had Thank it you. In you at that point? I mean, honestly I can't
honestly,
imagine
yeah,
the mental
like,
turmoil.
So this was my second, like, major sheep hunt. I'm halfway to my grand slam for sheep, actually. I went adult sheep hunting in Alaska when I was, I think I was 17 at the time. And that was a really, really long hike too. So I knew I had it in me. I didn't know that I had it in me for the hotter climate because it's
yeah,
not
that
like that in Alaska.
Makes a big difference.
Oh, yeah, it does. You
so
need
take me
to pack
through.
In a lot of water.
Oh, yeah.
I want to know what, take us through when you see this sheep and the scenario, paint the picture for me as to what's going
yeah.
through your mind as you're thoroughly exasperated and exhausted and you finally see this monster on the side of the mountain.
Yeah, and exhausted is a good way to put it because my guide told me we had to go quickly up this 80-ish yard, really steep slope. And once we got up there, it was go time to shoot. So I basically jogged up there as quickly as I could without hurting myself. And I got to the top and I had to collect my breath. I mean, it was probably 70 degrees only that day, which is still pretty hot when you're hiking.
Ooh, very
like that.
Hot.
But,
yeah. Very hot.
But it was still, you know, it was still hot for me. And I was collecting my breath. My guide's like, okay, it's, you know, just breathe in and out. You need to shoot. And I'm like, okay, I can do this.
Chop, chop, girl, let's go.
It's time. So,
How
I mean,
far
at
was
that
the sheep?
Point, it's so from there, he was about 330 yards away. It was 327 exactly from where I shot.
Wow.
So, yeah. And basically, once I collected my breath, I belly crawled up to the edge of this little slope. Got the gun ready, put the tripod out for the gun, got comfortable. He was on the move. He was running up the hill with three other sheep, two smaller ones, and then one other really nice ram too. But I tell you what, when I looked in my scope, I knew which one he was. He stood out like a sore thumb.
I bet, but that's no short shot either. And they're telling you better shoot quick.
Yep. Yep. Well, they're low pressure. They're like, you know, take your time, you know, take a deep breath, get comfortable. But I wasn't messing around. I had the opportunity. I looked to my guide, I said, he's the one in the back, right? You know, you got to confirm because you don't want to make the wrong shot, of course. And so he said, yep, that's the one. And I said, all right, I'm taking the safety off. Took the safety off. And right when I got a clean shot of him broadside with the other rams out of the way, made a perfect shot, dropped him right in his tracks.
Yay!
Wonderful. Yeah. 330 yards. That is a
yeah.
shot.
That's so exciting.
Yeah.
And then did you just jump for joy?
I mean, what went through your mind the second he dropped?
The second he dropped, I reloaded and I put those crosshairs right back on. I'm ready to shoot again just in case. Yes. I wasn't taking any chances. So I didn't get excited yet. I just kind of got prepared for the next step and prepared for the worst. And I had him in my scope and my guide said, yep, he's down. You're good to go. Put it on safety. And then I started to celebrate.
Yay!
I can't imagine.
Oh, congratulations. That's so exciting. So then do they go over there and pack, chop it up and bag it for you? Or do you get to go over there and do that?
Oh, yeah. We all climbed way over there, which it wasn't an easy climb over there either. Because like I said, we were top kind of on a top of a ridge and he was on his way up a different ridge. So
of course,
we climbed all the way over there and yeah, they cut him up and skinned him and we took photos and video and
wonderful.
It was a beautiful spot. I mean, he only fell probably about 20 yards from the shot when he collapsed. So wasn't too far of a drop, which is good and bad for the pack out. But, yeah, it was an absolute adrenaline rush, especially from where I shot, walking over to where he was. You know, I'm just so excited. I wish I could have just ran over there, but you know, one step at a time in those mountains.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's unbelievable. That's just an unbelievable success story after putting in so much work. And I don't think people think about, I know I as a hunter often don't think about once that animal is down and you want to preserve that meat and that hide, that's when the actual work begins.
Yeah.
That's when it gets crazy hard. And so now you're with this beautiful animal. You're going to take your photographs. Now you're going to pack it out. And you're, 10, 15 miles into a mountain. I mean, what is going through your mind at that point to realize now we're going to pack this thing out and you have just used every last scintilla of energy?
Yeah, so I mean, it's time to fuel up, have a couple snacks, have some water, and get your mind in the zone to work your way off the mountain, especially so you can do it on time before it gets dark. Yeah. It's all one way in, one way out is kind of how I was thinking. And basically the pack out wasn't so bad. It was close to an hour and 45 minutes out. The distance,
how many miles?
I'm not sure, honestly, probably close to 3, I think, according to my Garmin watch.
Okay. And we're all going, 3 miles. That's easy. 3 miles.
After all of that.
3 miles through the mountains.
After 14, 15 miles earlier.
Oh my gosh. So in essence, you ran a marathon. Oh, not even joking.
Yeah.
If you think about it.
Multiple marathons that week.
Up and down a mountain. Marathon after marathon after marathon. I mean, that is some serious Ironman stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And real quickly, I want to know what was the first food item, the culinary thing you did with the sheep.
That's exactly
when
what
you
I was
got back.
Mm-hmm. I thought we were going to do that in the next segment.
Well, we got lots of cooking to talk about.
Yeah,
today.
We do.
The first item I had when I got off the mountain was an ice cold Coors Light. I can tell you that.
Oh,
you earned that.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. It was hard earned, but yeah, that pack out was wild. When I got home to Wisconsin, we seasoned up the back straps into little just bite-sized steak bites and seasoned them up just kind of how we season up venison at home, and then soaked them in butter on the frying pan and ate them like
beautiful.
Congratulations.
I would have got off that mountain and I would have eaten a chunk of that ram sushi grade.
Yeah. I would have eaten the heart so on the side of the mountain.
And we just ate the most amazing meal before the show tonight. Yes. We're going to tell you about that with Chef Lawton. Raised in Wisco is, after all, a cooking show.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
He scores! Wow! He ripped one over the glove of Heaney.
It's on.
And save! Badgers win the shootout.
In America's college hockey capital.
Empty net goal at the horn. Badgers finish Michigan.
Badger hockey lives here.
Sponsored by Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Econ Electric Inc., Rapids Transmission, Junkyard Bar & Grill, and 8th Street Auto. Listen on 97.5 FM and on the Civic Media app.
Tune in to WFHR on Friday, October 31st from 5 to 8 for a special Halloween broadcast featuring the entire radio station staff. Get ready for trick-or-treating by listening to spooky stories, scary songs, and creepy poems to get you in the mood for a frightfully fun evening. This special is brought to you by Johnson & Sons Jeep, Gary's Coins, Hoffman's Tackle, Elks Lodge 693, El Cafe, Maker Square, Beaver's Dime Store, Jensen Community Center, and E-Way Sales and Pawn. Listen Halloween night from 5 to 8 if you dare.
During Medicare's open enrollment, it's common to receive mailers and see TV commercials that say you're missing out on some benefits. Before you respond to these ads, turn to Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol, here to help you prevent, detect, and report Medicare fraud. Don't be misled into enrolling in a plan that doesn't meet your health needs or cover your medications. Visit the Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol website at smpwi.org.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation just announced the official start date for one of its biggest ever construction projects, the I-94 East-West Project, which will reconstruct and widen a 3.5-mile stretch of interstate highway in the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County. This is a massive project with an estimated cost of more than $1.7 billion. And with this official start date announced also came estimates for how long this will take. Construction is expected to last until 2033. At the recombobulate area, this project is something we've covered extensively, including with an award-winning four-part series called Expanding the Divide. It might be worth revisiting that series and considering how unnecessary and expensive an extra lane is, and how in southeastern Wisconsin, we're going to be dealing with construction and delays for the next 8 years in order to shave a few minutes off suburban commute times while the city streets and city problems go ignored once again.
Find all of Dan's work at the recombobulation area.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Man, I've been working too hard, 10-hour days and I'm tired. Damn this knuckle busting, back-breaking, no paying job, nowhere I'm going from here. Hot-headed women.
Raised in Wisco is nothing if not exciting, and exploring the state of Wisconsin, what it has to offer, what you can harvest, what you can forage, what you can fish, and how to put it on the table. And we have a special treat for you tonight, as we always do. Chef Ellie Lawton, the award-winning culinarian, is joining us, and we do a cooking segment every show. If you're new to the show, welcome. Get out those pots and pans and utensils, because we're going to show you how to take what you get in the field and bring it to the table. What an amazing story by Kenya Link. A fantastic hunt. And we got to hear about her seasoning up those backstraps of that once in 10 lifetimes bighorn sheep she got. And I'm going to tell you, one of the greatest things about Raised in Wisco, and we have our number one fan, Gary Fluitt, along, and of course, Danielle Fairman, co-host of the show, Ellie Lawton, our chef, and contributor Megan Salazar. But one of the things that I just love, the camaraderie of the show and getting together. We get together and break bread before the show. And tonight we had an unbelievable feast, I would call it.
So good.
It was so good. And I hope, I'm hoping that's the recipe of the week, Chef Lawton.
It was not. Look at her face.
Sorry to break your heart, Joel.
Well, you're going to have to listen to a future show because on a future show, we're going to go through the recipe of what we ate today, but it was pretty fantastic and it had the
All right, Joel, we can talk about it.
No, it's okay. No, I
don't
want
to derail you.
You can't. Not possible when it comes to food. But Chef Lawton, what have you in store for us this week?
So, I did a play on chicken and waffles, but I used my wild turkey breasts that I just harvested, and I made a cornbread waffle with charred corn and scallions, and then a maple butter.
What?
So,
oh my God. What? Did you forget to invite us?
Yeah. I want to know. Megan just said.
I thought we were friends.
Megan, I do already have pictures of it for you as well.
But I.
Okay, that makes it worse. Okay, you do know
but
that,
I didn't
right?
eat it.
Sorry, I'm blowing up. Sorry, you're blowing up. Sorry, everybody's blowing up right now.
I heard said okay, a word.
That's
Danielle, thank you. That's because you want the recipe. I
do,
can tell.
I'm ready. I'm waiting.
Okay, so I went out, had a beautiful turkey hunt, breasted my turkey. Megan, I'm making turkey tail next with my turkey tail.
Fantastic.
Yes. So marinated that turkey breast overnight in the refrigerator with some hot sauce and some buttermilk. Super easy. The next day.
Yeah.
Oh, Danielle. Are you doing okay?
Danielle, we're at the beginning of the recipe, Danielle. Hang on. Hang on. The best is yet to come.
Super easy prep for this meat. Took it out of the marinade. I let the buttermilk sit on it. I did not rinse it off. I put it in a seasoned flour of cayenne, cornmeal, flour, a little salt, a little pepper. Ooh. I pan fried it in the cast iron skillet. That was my turkey. It was wonderful, beautiful. I loved it. And then for the cornbread waffle, you can use a cornbread mix or you can make your own. A little baking powder, eggs, milk, butter. And then I charred some sweet corn kernels and green onions in a cast iron pan. Mm-hmm. So just until they got a little dark on the outside. Threw that in the batter, put that in the waffle iron. Danielle, are you still doing okay over there?
I need a bit. Danielle,
how are you hungry
I
right
love
now?
Hot. If it's
how
spicy,
are you hungry?
I'm in.
So
always.
Danielle, first spice factor.
Putting on my winter weight.
First spice factor on the turkey, I did drizzle some hot honey over it.
Mike's hot honey?
Yes, yes.
You could add jalapenos to your cornbread too.
Yeah, you certainly could. Nice. Yeah, you can put any sort of whatever veggie and put it in the cornbread waffle. It was fantastic. So then, made that cornbread waffle, put the turkey over it, and then topped it with pickled red onion and pickled carrot with the hot honey. And then, Danielle.
Wait, why are we putting carrots in this thing?
Whoa, relax. They're pickled.
They're
it's
on
amazing.
The side, maybe. I don't know.
No, I piled them up on top.
Holy
we're
cow, gonna,
that went south
in a hurry.
Hey,
that
Danielle,
went south in a hurry when
obviously you're
carrots.
Stuck at the culinary carrot corner, and we're going to change that, okay? And then, Danielle, I made this for you. I made maple butter. So I took butter and an
delicious.
Immersion blender and put in some Wisconsin maple syrup until I made a really nice, thick.
Jarunis.
Oh, goodness. made a nice, thick maple butter and drizzled that over the top. Oh. That's
it sounds
what I had.
So harvesty,
sorry.
Right?
Sorry, y'all weren't invited.
I
next
feel like
time,
that would be good with sheep.
Next time, though, I'm going to top it
you
with some
that,
cranberry chutneys.
Oh, that sounds absolutely fantastic. I think
chutneys?
Some chutney. Cranberry chutney.
I think cornmeal is an underrated,
cornmeal's fantastic.
Underused substance. Cornmeal on the bottom of a pizza crust.
Oh, pizza. Yes.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, I don't even
oh,
know
yeah?
if
you
I
know?
Would call it. Kenya, Kenya
yeah.
what do you think?
Kenya!
Kenya, what do you think about that recipe?
I like the cornmeal on the bottom of pizza crust. That's so yeah. good.
Well, Kenya, that I wasn't ever. Part of the recipe.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you, I like that you took a classic chicken and waffles, made it with wild game.
Yeah.
And the beauty of doing that is that you could really use almost any protein.
Yeah, I wanted to say you like could that. Do duck breast. Megan, you could do pheasant, chucker, anything.
It
That'd
sounds
be
like
fantastic.
A wonderful fall recipe.
Or if you don't have any wild game, run to the grocery store and get some chicken.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Monday, author Laura Bird will tell us about not one, but two upcoming book festivals around Wisconsin, what they're about, and why you might like to check one out.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
You wanted to be cool, which led you to smoking, which led to a pack a day. Then you met that special someone, which led to starting a life with them, which led to wanting to live longer, which led to quitting. Then you heard you may be at risk for lung cancer, which led you to getting a low-dose CT scan. If you smoked, get scanned. Talk to your doctor and learn more at savedbythescan.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
97.5 WFHR, locally grown radio, and home to mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Matt Piper. The U.S. military struck another boat that they say was carrying drugs in the Caribbean. Three people were killed. It is the seventh known attack in recent weeks. This one, the defense secretary says, is tied to a drug cartel from Colombia, where its president has been criticizing the actions by the United States. More from the BBC's Sue Montgomery.
President Trump has accused his left-wing Colombian counterpart, Gustavo Petro, of encouraging the massive nationwide production of drugs. Writing on social media, Mr. Trump called him an illegal drug leader. Mr. Petro retorted he was the biggest enemy of drug trafficking in Colombia this century.
Now to the government shutdown. Tomorrow will mark week three. It's become the third longest funding lapse in modern history as the Senate gets back to work this week. Democrat Senator Mark Kelly on CBS's Face the Nation.